Hosea chapter 14. Let us hear the word of the Lord. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, Take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, Ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, What have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Let us pray. We praise Thee, O Lord our God, for the words of righteousness and truth in the Scriptures, the words of hope and mercy, the hope and mercy that come unto us because Thou art a gracious God, because Thou art our God. Lord, we gather here this day to hear Thy word, to hear the Lord Jesus Christ exalted. Deliver us from self-satisfaction. Deliver us from our pride and humility. Wilt Thou lay us low to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches about Thy righteousness, Thy sovereignty, and the worthiness of the Lamb to receive our worship alone. Forgive our sin, cleanse our hearts. Wilt Thou pour Thy truth into waiting vessels prepared by Thy Spirit? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you have been here through this series in Hosea, which now comes to an end. And as Hosea ministered for decades, we don't know exactly how many, but decades, he went on, and this is just a confinement of that message that he gave to Israel over many, many years. And at the end, he says, in effect, have you been listening? Have you been paying attention to what I've been saying? And we know that people made a mockery of Hosea. They laughed at his silly illustrations. They surely must have mocked him to think, how can a man who is godly use a prostitute to whom he is married to teach us anything about our ways? And again, I encourage you to come this evening when we're going to talk about some of these things. Here is the Lord lifting up two people, looking at Hosea, looking at his example, one of them stricken in his heart, convicted of his idolatry, and the other one turning around and laughing and mocking and saying, how could God possibly be present in the ministry of Hosea if he's going to do something as wicked and as foolish as that? And rising up as a result of that in self-righteousness, because that's what the human heart does. It puts down the ministry of the Word, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and says, I am better than that person. I am better than that prophet. I am better than that minister. And I don't need, I could teach Hosea a thing or two, really, about righteousness. If only he would look at my life. If God really was present in our midst, he would have raised up myself as a great minister and used me as an example of holiness and righteousness and following after the Lord and being religious and being faithful in my attendance in religious things. And the Lord said, that's not what I'm after. Hosea said, that's not really the essence of my message, is to see how great you are, or how faithful you are, or how religious you are. Hosea has been saying, I don't want, God says, I don't want your religion, I want your heart. So the final proposition, the final declaration that Hosea makes is found in the middle of verse 9. The ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk therein. The ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk therein. And he precedes that, as he concludes all of his message, by asking two questions. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Who is prudent, and he shall know them? Paul asked similar questions at the beginning of 1 Corinthians. Where is the wisdom of the scribe? Where is the wisdom of the world? It can't be found. Many professing to be wise, many talking about how wise they are and how good it would be if the Lord would take their advice, or people in general would take their advice and do things according to their way. And every man exalts his own wisdom. It's not hard to find somebody who says he's wise. And the Lord doesn't want you or Israel to just say, I am foolish. A lot of men, a lot of unregenerate men, can also say that. I am foolish. I make mistakes. I've messed up my life. A lot of men who are not going to be in heaven will admit that openly. But only a Christian can say, the Lord alone is wise. His message is right. How many are there who are wise? The Lord says to the Corinthians, to the Apostle Paul, not many wise are chosen. And I think Charles Spurgeon says that he's glad that the Lord didn't say not any wise are chosen, but he says not many wise. Not many who are in the eyes of the world are really held in high esteem are saved. Not many prominent people are saved. It's not the way of the Lord. But he's no respecter of persons. It's not as if a famous man could never be saved. But admit it, you and I are suspicious when we hear of TV stars and movie stars and prominent politicians turning to the Lord. We kind of say, well, we'll wait and see. Isn't that right? Something there doesn't quite mix or jive. But still, because of grace, the Lord's people are willing to say, we'll wait and see whether there's anything in this, because the Lord may have done a good work of grace. We need to give that. But there are not many wise. So here at the end of his ministry, Hosea says, really, have you been listening? Are you wise? Are you prudent? Are you willing to admit that your life is a mess? That you are filled with idolatry? That you need to be turned from that idolatry. And here is the Lord pressing down on Israel and making them super humble. He's making you come to grips with your own humility. And to the extent that the Lord humbles you, you are able to say, the Lord is right and I am wrong. The Lord is wise and I am foolish. The Lord is strong, and I am weak. A man can really only say that with good understanding from the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Only the Lord is wise. Only God can give wisdom. And to the extent that any consider what I say is wise, to that extent, I return the glory to the Lord. Because nothing that I say is wise. And everything that I say naturally is filled with foolishness. As we repeat the word of God, we are filled with his wisdom. And we can say, you know, I didn't get that. You didn't get that from me. I got that from the Lord. Maybe the first time around I didn't make that sufficiently clear. I had a young lady write to me in an email, just that kind of thing. You taught me a good thing. And I've often thought what you said. I say, well, I didn't say that. The Lord said that. I had to email her back. This is the word of God, directing her attention always to what the scriptures say, because that's our authority. It may sound nice, it may sound comfortable, but really, if it's the word of God, it is the truth and it is wisdom. You hear the words of Elihu that we read from Job 34? Elihu begins what God later on does. And just recently, we were talking about how low the Lord made Job to be. He pressed him down, and he pressed him down, and he pressed him down. And he took away his goods, and he took away then his livelihood. He took away his family. He took away his health. He took away everything, and he had everything. Job had everything. He was at least as prosperous as Abraham. And the Lord, bit by bit, and not in a very long period of time, in a fairly short period of time, it seems, took everything away. And then Job, who began to defend the Lord's right to do exactly that, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil, begins to think the way that his friends think. And he begins to feel sorry for himself. And then young Elihu comes along and he says, all right, I listened to you other guys. And I thought maybe, being older, that you had some wisdom, but it seems that's not the case. And then he puts Job even lower. Are you considering everything that has happened in the light of God's sovereignty and his right to do these things to you? Does he have that right to take everything from you? Everything that you've worked for? Everything that you think you deserve, and leave you with your life so it's just you and the Lord. Does the Lord have the right to do that? That is a big part of the understanding of the gospel. And here is Job already down. He's already had all of these false accusations from his so-called friends. He's been trying to defend himself. That's where things come along. Now, instead of pointing to the Lord, he's defending himself. But I have done these things. Oh, you haven't been good to the poor people. That's why God made you poor. Or Job says, I have done these things. He kind of reflects and turns back on his works. And Elihu says, that's not the answer. And then the Lord comes and really slaps Job down. And he says, you are not God. You don't know anything about what's happening around you. But you need to acknowledge that I have a right to do to you whatever I want. Where were you? Where were you when I placed the planets and the constellations in the sky? You weren't there. I'm God. And beloved, we are so good at bringing God down to our level where we're comfortable with him. But God is a great God, and he's a mighty God, and he has a right to humble you and to bring you into that place where you have to say, is God just and is God right? As he has dealt with you in your life, is he right and is he just? What he has done for you, what he has done to you, is that just and right? So the Lord's people are taken up with the cause of the truth. So that when Pilate came to Jesus, or Jesus came to Pilate, and Pilate said, "What is truth? Nobody can know the truth. You're just fighting an uphill battle. You proclaim to represent the truth." He said, "No, I am the truth." But he said, in the course of that interview, he said in John 18:37, "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Here's a good way to tell about the truth. Are you listening to the voice of Jesus Christ? He sent Hosea. Remember, the word Hosea means Joshua. There's another word for Jesus. It means that Jesus saves. Hosea was there for salvation. And salvation comes through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in giving repentance. And all of these things, you say, who is wise? Who is sufficient for these things? The disciples, when they were told, let's turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Let's begin at verse 3. The Lord Jesus says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." That's the command of the Lord. Thou shalt forgive him. Now, how do the apostles respond? Verse 5. "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." Do you think they understood what Jesus meant when he said you have to forgive a brother who says, "I repent," seven times in one day? I don't think too many of us come across a situation where we have a brother come to us twice in a day saying, "I repent, forgive me, please." It doesn't really happen every day. Here the Lord Jesus Christ says, seven times in one day, your brother comes to you, he says, "I've offended you, I repent, please forgive me." The Lord says, "You shall forgive him." And if you understand what that involves, you are going to say to the Lord, "Increase our faith. I cannot do this without your help, without the Holy Spirit. I cannot forgive my brother, what? I cannot do it twice. There is no way that I can do it seven times in one day. Lord, increase our faith." You see, they understood that they couldn't do it. They understood that it was beyond their ability. And beloved, you and I need to learn what it is to serve the Lord in the Lord's strength. And how often do you try harder and work harder in order to serve the Lord rather than crying out to Him for His strength to help you to understand even how bad the situation is? We don't understand how wicked our hearts are, how far removed we are from the Lord, except the Lord have mercy upon you, except the Lord's grace descend upon you daily, hourly, moment by moment. I'm kept in His love. That should be one of our great watchword songs. Moment by moment, I can't take a breath except I know the mercy of God. Because what's the use? I can't do a thing without God's help. We're not really very good even at asking one another's help. We're not good at it. We tend to be very independent. I don't want to admit to somebody else that I can't do this on my own, and so I'm not going to ask somebody to help me. But that's just a very small facet of our reluctance also to ask God for His help. As if we're trying to show God, "See, I can do it." And God does not want to hear from your lips, "I can do it." He doesn't want you to try. to do it on your own. It's not a sign of spiritual maturity. It's not a sign of spiritual strength and growth. The more you depend upon the Lord, the more you grow in faith. Isn't that true? The more you acknowledge, I need thee every hour, the more God is honored. The more you understand your inability, and in many cases your unwillingness, to enter into this week to serve the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, ought you not to go from this place saying, I cannot enter this week without the help of the Lord. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need His Holy Spirit, or I am undone, because I can't rise to the spiritual challenges of the day. I might be able to use some help or clues or advice, practically speaking, maybe, from Dr. Phil or some magazine article, and maybe they can help me get along with this person at work that I don't get along with so well. But it's just patchwork. It's just making things kind of glazed over for a little while. It doesn't really deal with the heart of the problem, which the Holy Spirit will always do. So you need the Lord Jesus. You need the Lord to show you that you are an idolater. At heart, you want something else, and generally yourself, to take the place of God. And every human heart must be delivered from that natural idolatry. That's the message of Hosea. In many ways, we look at the picture there as a picture of adultery, but it is really a picture of idolatry. And the fool will say, go ahead and say everything that you want about me, but it's not true of me. It's true. I know a lot of people that it's true about, but it's not true of me. But if it's not true of you, then you don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you don't need the Holy Spirit. But the humble heart says, if the Lord doesn't restrain me, I create new idols every hour. I create new ways of subverting His authority, of not recognizing His truth, and not acknowledging that His word is the way of truth that my heart needs. The ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk therein. And who is wise and shall understand these things? Who is prudent and he shall know them? The one who acknowledges the ways of the Lord are right. The just shall walk in them. And the just are going to say, only by the blood of Jesus are my sins washed away. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ do I have no more sin. Do I have no more iniquity? Do I have no more guilt? And I can stand with a clear conscience before the Lord. That is the truth of God's word. And you need to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Give one example from secular history. We heard Beethoven's Ninth Symphony this week. Delightful piece of music. And Beethoven, of course, there's no evidence that he was regenerate, but he had tremendous musical ability. By the time he wrote the Ninth Symphony, he was deaf. And in fact, as he conducted the premiere performance of the Ninth Symphony, he kept on conducting after the piece was done because he couldn't hear the musicians play, and so he had lost track of the beat, and the people had been applauding and holding things up, and so they finished. And Beethoven kept conducting until finally then, as the instruments were finished playing, the symphony was finished playing, the whole auditorium was filled with applause and with cheering and with great enthusiasm for what Beethoven had done, and he was still conducting away until one of the soloists had to come and take his shoulder and turn him around see what he could not hear. And he was deeply moved. by the show of affection for what he had created. Beloved, we can't see the justice of God or the righteousness of God until the Holy Spirit takes you by the shoulders and turns you around and opens your eyes and makes you to see what you couldn't otherwise see. And that is the beauty of the riches of Jesus Christ. It's all your soul really needs. It's all that your soul ought to long for. And it's our testimony, my testimony, and the testimony of each of the Lord's people. Beloved, you and I need to hear this every week. We need to be reminded. And that's why the Lord says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, because you grow proud and arrogant and self-righteous when you begin to think, I already know this. I already understand it. And you don't realize that through the week, you lose your grasp of that. And the Lord has ordained that you need to fellowship with the saints and be reminded of the strength and the power that is yours. Because along with all of the uncomfortable doctrines that many who call themselves Christians don't like to hear about total depravity, don't like to hear about unconditional election or limited atonement or irresistible grace, but beloved, we also believe in the perseverance of the saints. And it's only going to be through God's strength that you carry on, that these desires are renewed, that you're not sorry that you came here this morning to hear these things, because you need to hear them. You need to be reminded that God is your salvation, that all of the riches that are presented to you in God's Word and through the preaching of that Word, you need every day. You need every week. The Lord knows your weakness, and He will supply according to His riches in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to deal with the last phrase of this verse so much, because we are going to deal with it in detail this evening. The just shall walk in them. When the Lord takes your shoulders, when your back has been to the grace and the mercy of God in Christ and turns you around to make you to behold the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and see that you need Him, you will also walk in His way. They'll be delightful to you. They'll be a treasure to you. You will love to please God in everything that you say and do. You will mourn every time you transgress His way, and that transgression is pointed out to you by the Holy Spirit. But beloved, it is also true that the transgressor shall fall therein. And it's a gripping truth of God's Word that those same words that are coming forth from my lips this day in the proclamation of God's saving grace in the light of your sin to many, they increase their judgment. And they increase their condemnation. And it is a fearful thing to stand before you, to think that that may be the case. But the words of warning all the way through Hosea that we have seen are very important for you to know. The writer to the Hebrews does this when he tells them that many people that are very, very closely and intricately involved in the life and the health even of the church, and calls them even partakers of the Holy Ghost. Some that appear that way can fall away. He has to say that because that is the nature of the church, and that is one of the things that the Lord allows to happen in His church. They're not actually saved and become unsaved, but they have a very intimate relation and connection with the church, and there are people like that who can never had any life from Christ. And then he goes on to say, what does he say after that? You need to keep reading that. You know, a lot of Christians can read those passages in Hebrews 6 and 10 and get all caught up and all anxious and all worrisome about their soul. He goes on and he says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. You see, the gospel minister never says, I hope that someone here is condemned by my words. But he knows that it could be so. Beloved, I am persuaded of better things of you. I am persuaded that the Lord has given us the light of the gospel, that in over 50 years, he has never seen fit to extinguish the light of that gospel, which is his prerogative. He could take away the candlestick as he did the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians 2, but beloved, he has not done that. We have not risen to great numbers. We have not done great and mighty things very often, but the Lord is with us. And together, we must continue to look to the Lord. We need to look back at things that we have done badly, things that we have done wrong, and repent of them and move forward. But beloved, our eyes are always on the Lord Jesus Christ, not on how we have done or what we have done. But when you understand what God has done for you in Christ, you will rise up to be mighty in the hands of the Lord. Beloved, our future is in the hands of the Lord. Your soul, I trust this day, because of the preaching of God's word, is secure in the hand of a mighty God. Lord, we bless thy name, for thou art gracious and merciful. We confess that thy ways are right, that we have been justified through the righteousness of Christ imputed unto us, and we delight to walk in thy ways. Lord, we know that thou dost keep thy people. Wilt thou bless us in the hearing of the gospel? Lord, we fear. We fear to hear of souls that fall away from thy church. But Lord, wilt thou keep us? Wilt thou draw others? Wilt thou, in thy mercy and grace, return those who in thy providence also have left? Wilt thou raise us up a united voice to praise thy name, to acknowledge thy goodness to every man, to acknowledge that we are saved by thy grace alone. Lord, we are thy people, which are called by thy name. Hear us, we plead, for Jesus' sake. Amen.